MoveCast.
Hello, welcome to one more episode of the WolfCast. On this episode, we have the pleasure of interviewing Heidi from Canada. Hello, Heidi.
Hola, Rodrigo.
Heidi is a host in Canada, and very nice to have you on board and to understand a little bit of your experience and the general experience of as being a host in Canada.
I'm excited to speak with you.
Thank you. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Who is Heidi, despite being a host?
I am a vegetarian, garden-loving, garlic-growing aficionado who raises horses. How's that?
Garlic? Why garlic?
Garlic is very easy to grow. I love it. I love to eat it. And you plant it during a time of year that I'm not so busy. So it works very well for me because I plant the garlic in the fall here. So we get the garden all ready, put it in, and we just harvested it as well. So it's also during a not so busy time, and we can spend a lot of time braiding and hanging it in the shop where it's cool during the day.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. For in Portugal, is the fava beans, broad beans? I think it's called broad beans in English, or fava beans. This is the easiest culture we do here. It's the lazy gardener culture.
Exactly, and delicious. I love fava beans. We ate them when I was a child. My mom and dad actually grew them. They were from Holland, and they really, I think the Dutch people know how good they are.
Mm-hmm. And Heidi, where did you first heard about wolf?
That was interesting. The farm was being a little bit threatened by some development nearby, and we asked for some help, and we came in contact with a wolf host from Nelson in British Columbia, Mitch. And he came and spoke to us about our rights as landowners, and he said, you know, after a while, he says, you would be wonderful wolf hosts. And I said, wolf? What is that? So we looked into it, and in 2008, I set up a profile, and we had our very first woofers. I think it was that spring, a couple from Germany, and it took off from there. It was so much fun, and I got the help I needed. We had been hand-picking burdock, an invasive plant, in the field to try to manage the pasture, and all I did was pick it. I couldn't do anything else. It took me all summer, and now we had people to come and spend an hour a day helping with the burdock, and then we would go hiking and have some fun, and it wasn't all work for everybody, you know?
Yeah, beautiful. And are you receiving, how many woofers are you getting per year, more or less?
The last 3 years, I have a woof guest almost every month. There's usually somebody here, or two people, or a couple. Currently, I have a young lady from Slovenia and a young lady from Norway. And they're just out untacking the horses. They went for a morning ride, and I was putting the bread in the oven and getting ready for some of my tasks for today. So yeah, they're great. So what is that? Anywhere from 12 to 16 people from all over the world every year. It's very exciting, right through the winter even.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, because the winter, the horses you need to eat in the winter, I guess, huh? They stay inside or they stay outside in the winter?
Well, these are Le Cheval Canadiens. So these are Canadian horses. That's our official breed of Canada. They arrived here before it was Canada, from France. And the French king decided that he would send horses that were very sturdy so they could survive the Canadian winters of minus 30 to minus 40 Celsius. They could, they didn't have to eat so much. They were very sturdy, but they were fun to ride and drive and plow. So this is the origin of the horse that I raise. So they don't like barns. They grow a thick winter coat. And when it was minus 50 one winter, this is not that common, but it was very, very cold. I hiked out into the field to check on them, and they were pawing through the snow, and their coats were very thick, and there was a patch of snow on their back, which means they're well insulated, they're not losing heat, and they're very good. I will run our fingers through their fur to make sure their ribs aren't showing, but they really can survive the winters here. They have more trouble in the summer. They like to come in into their sheds in the summertime when it's hot, get away from the bugs. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, interesting. Minus 50 Fahrenheit. This, how much in Celsius do you know by heart?
No. That's Celsius. And at that
what?
Point, it's the same. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Now, on average, I don't want to scare anyone away, but on average, it's about minus 20 to minus 30 in the maybe from December, January, February. And then because we're just east of the Rocky Mountains, mm-hmm. all the weather comes from the Pacific Ocean. It hits the mountains, it forces the clouds and the moisture up. The moisture's dropped on the west side of the mountains, and the warm wind comes down the mountains and melts everything on my side. And that's mm-hmm. called a Chinook. So that happens every month or so. So we'll go in one day, we'll go from minus 20 Celsius to plus 20 Celsius.
Man.
Because of the Chinook.
Well, I imagine the plants and the animals and everything gets a bit crazy with so much difference of temperature.
It's a land of extremes, and the animals are adapted to that. The only challenge with the horses is when it rains and they get soaked, and then it gets cold. The elk, though, are dependent on the Chinooks because the Chinook melts the snow off of the south-facing slopes, and that's where the wild elk will go to graze. So a lot of the animals here are the wildlife is adapted for this climate.
Mm-hmm. And I can understand the horses are very adapted and can live outside, but what about the woofers? They can survive to this weather change.
They can. The woof, I had one lady, I remember her, she was from Catalonia, and she wanted to experience winter. So I was here with another Canadian woofer in the house. We had a wind, but it was more like a blizzard. So it was when Pincher Creek was one of the top five coldest places on the whole planet. So this was in November, I forget the year, 2015 maybe. And Leia would go for a hike. So it with the wind chill, it was minus 55 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
So she bundled up and off she went for a hike around the property. And we watched her with worry in our, any other person would be huddled around the fireplace, but that she wanted to experience winter, and she had the most winter that any of my woof guests ever had. And she came back and was very exhilarated.
Well, I can imagine it's a survival experience somehow.
Right? And living in near Catalonia, I doubt they get much snow there. I don't think they get any, do they?
No. No, only the mountains, but not in the cities itself. And Heidi, would you like to share more experiences? Do you have any other nice history?
I can just keep going on and on. I've written a blog, but I haven't published it yet, about all the things that I have learned about woof, or about other cultures from my woof guests, because it's a cultural exchange. It's not just, you know, me sharing my horsemanship experience or land management experience here. I expect that I'm going to be learning some new things. And one of the traditions, I just pulled two loaves of sourdough out of the oven, and I would never be a baker if it wasn't for my WOOF guest. And I have to say, I'm a little smart that way, because one winter, I challenged two WOOF guests to see who could make the best bread. always do that. We had incredible bread all winter. They were just, you know, challenging each other to see who could make the best, what was the best recipe. And then I bought some sourdough starter for Sebastian from France. So his goal was to develop a sourdough loaf here and bake it that was as good as the French bread, which, I mean, you can't really get much better than that. So after 15 tries, he said, okay, Heidi, I'm going to show you how I make this bread. And to this day, bake our own bread, our own sourdough. I've added some things. I've had other woofers change a few things. We make a raisin now, a rye mix. It's all from this incredible organic, unbleached white, non-GMO flour that I get from Ontario via a food co-op in a nearby community. And there's also a big bag of rye. I buy it by the 25 kilogram bags. And I think to keep up, we have to bake two loaves every other day. I think that is one loaf a day that we eat.
Wow. And it's still using the same original sourdough.
The same starter. We've named the starter Sebastian, after Sebastian from France, who developed it.
Oh, beautiful.
It's traveled around the world. When I have too much starter, I dry it. Now, there's some starter in Norway. There's starter back in France. There's starter in another part of France. Who else brought some? There's starter on its way back to Germany.
I think it's a good opportunity to say a good thank you to Sebastian.
Right? Thank you, Sebastian. And well, we do a grateful jar. I've set up some, I'm not a very traditional person, and I knew I needed that in my life. So I set up a few traditions, and one of them is the grateful jar. So I've got little pieces of paper, and whenever anyone's feeling grateful about anything, they write it down and put it in the jar. And then at New Year's, we read them. Now, last year's 50% of the grateful messages were about Sebastian's sourdough.
Wow. Nice and really beautiful story, Heidi. And I guess not everything is wonderful and perfect. Had you any bad experience with woofers?
You know, if it does happen, it's my fault entirely, in that I hadn't set the expectations properly. And that's a learning experience. You know, people need to, you know, how did it slip that there are three extremely demanding cats in the house and that you're allergic, you know? So So I have to be very, very clear with my profile. And I've rewritten it a few times in details. And then we Zoom ahead of time to make sure we're a good fit. And, you know, everything, it's surprising how well it works out. I'm often very fortunate. And, you know, some people, I'm hoping, you know, they're going to come here and shovel horse manure out of the sheds in the summer. And it turns out they're incredible chefs. So it's like, okay, you cook, I'm going to shovel horse manure. You know, you have to find what everyone's good at and how you're going to work for the next month or so. And it changes each month. So I guess it's lucky I'm flexible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's really, really nice tip you gave. My experience says too that the most of the bad experience is for the lack of communication or the lack of the expectations are unreal or etc. Everything is based on the communication. I think if the host and the woofer have a very nice, open and clear communication before the arrival, then the chance of a bad experience is very, very small.
Absolutely. It's when you're a host, that's what it's all about, is the communications. And you know, communicate back to the people. If they take the time to write a two or three paragraph long introductory blurb and do a visit request, if you don't have time to talk to them right away, send them a quick note and say, hey, I'll get back to you in a week. This sounds amazing. Let me know when you can Zoom, something like that. And then that starts the rapport. And as well for me, if I get a beautiful request and I send something back right away and I don't hear from anyone, that's a kind of a sign that the communication skills just maybe are not there for what I need. And after 5 or 6 days and I haven't heard, you know, oh yeah, I'm studying right now, but in a week I'll be able to talk to you more, then that's just a sign, right? So maybe other people are okay with that, but for my farm, it's very important. I'm in the middle of nowhere. I'm by myself. I have horses. You can hurt yourself. People need to be very, very good at communicating. You know, where are you today? Check in, please. If you're there by yourself and I'm in town, I need to know that you made it back from your ride or whatever. Very few people will ride on their own here unless they have the skills, but you know, you just have to keep track, and that's very, also very, very important. And it just makes for a better experience for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And then on the side of the woofer, the same, they for sure the conditions of visiting you is very different from visiting a host in Morocco or in South Africa or in Germany. So the woofer must really be open-minded and arrive and to understand what are the rules of your house, and on the same time, what's the rule of the place? If it, the environment, the neighbors, the small village nearby, or and the woofers really need to be open-minded to kind of get this information and to adapt it to it, and not have the presumption that they will change the place where they are going to visit. I don't know if you agree with me.
Oh, totally. Totally. The biggest shock everyone has here is I don't have a shower. And I've got to maybe take a picture of the beautiful, you know, where my clawfoot tub came from. It came from Spain. Mm. It's a beautiful, but you know, I think to solve that, it will be a woof project for somebody. Build an outdoor shower, you know, solar heated something. It'd be a perfect project. Mm-hmm. So I keep mentioning it, but nobody's taken it on. But it's really important. And if they don't like cats, they won't survive, because my cats love the woof guest. They spend time upstairs where the woof accommodation is, and they're very demanding cats. So it's almost like you must love cats.
Yeah, actually, we are just talking the last episodes with Jan from Germany about how the animals, they adapted to the woofy experience too. It's super interesting. I imagine the horses too, they know the woofers and they know they stay for a long time or
whatever. They really do. And I'm lucky with such a well-behaved herd. You know, there's obviously some safety things people have to watch out for. And I go through all of that, but really they're fantastic horses. I have one horse that guest starred on a TV show, so everyone wants to ride him. He's a little slow though. But my dogs as well, I've never had dogs, and last year there was an opportunity to foster two puppies, and I had a woofer from Germany, and he had a lot of experience raising puppies. He's always wanted to, and I thought, okay, well, let's foster these dogs. And Lassa was the head dog trainer of this place for a month and a half. He stayed longer because of the dogs and helped me raise them, and I ended up keeping both of them. And these dogs love the woofers. They love to they're so excited when a new young person comes, and we bring them both with us to pick up the woof guests at the bus depot and to drop them off. And we're always taking, you know, pictures of us. There's one on the Woof Canada site now of us dropping off a woof guest and picking up somebody at the bus depot with the dogs. So you're right. They absolutely adapt to people coming and going. I think they're not puppies anymore, but I think they really miss, like, I think it's hard on them to say goodbye to their new friends every month or two.
Yeah, but they adapt to the situation, I'm sure. It's for the children too, it's difficult to say goodbye.
Oh yeah, they're stuck with me
Heidi, thank you so much for being available. It was a pleasure to know you a little bit better and to understand this your host condition, this extreme weather. It's not for me, to be honest, but I'm sure that a lot of roofers would love it to experiment that.
They totally do.
Heidi, thank you for being available.
You're welcome. Well, very nice meeting you, Rodrigo, and have a wonderful rest of your day. And thank you for fitting me in today.
Yeah, you're welcome. See you, Heidi. Bye bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Roofcast.